sponsored by JMR Rentals, professional digital cinema and broadcast equipment rentals in Brooklyn, New York. JMRNY.com.
Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and today on the program, we're giving you our best recommendation for streaming shows here in 2024. Hopefully, some of these are still streaming. They're streaming now while we're recording this, but if they're not, don't blame us. Anyway, to help me do that, joining me via Zoom all the way from the great white north, she is the host of a couple of podcasts herself, Made with Jackie Hansel and Homebodies Only, Miss Jackie Hansel.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. So great to be here.
It's great to have you. This is, sort of a reunion for us.
Yes.
But nobody, we don't need to go into that.
It's been decades. Decades.
Just a couple.
Sure.
I ran into a workmate of a friend of mine that I've known, and I said, "Oh, you work with John. I've known John for 20 years. I could tell you stories, but for his sake, I won't." But we have a lot of shows to talk about, so I kind of want to get like right to it.
Sure.
And these are going to be streaming on various channels. We are not sponsored by any of these channels, although if they would like to sponsor us, let me know. Give me a call.
Definitely.
I will take your money. All right. So what's the first show you got up for us?
I have to say Gilmore Girls. I absolutely adore that show. If you don't know what it is, it's a dramedy, they call it. And it centers around the relationship between 30-something single mother and her teen daughter living in this adorable small town called Stars Hollow, Connecticut. She had her when she was 16. And she came from a prominent rich family, so it was a little bit scandalous. There's so much I could say about it, but it's like reading a good book. And I have the whole entire DVD set, which obviously I haven't watched in a while because now it's streaming. I would put it on and I clean the house. It's like it's one of those you could just leave it on in the background. And every time you watch it, you might like catch a different thing. I mean, it's very funny, very, very witty. There is a ton of dialogue, a lot of monologues as well. So just a lot of memorization for the actors. And it's just really, really great. I mean, I didn't get into it when it first came on. I was like, this looks corny, wasn't into it. And then somehow I must have caught repeats. And then I just got totally sucked into it. And it's on Netflix.
I have seen an episode or two of the Gilmore Girls. It's not a recent show.
No.
When was it on? When was it brought? Do you remember? Is this like early 2000s ish?
Yeah.
So we're gonna move it right along because we got a lot of shows. So my show is also kind of a networky type show, and I think it was just streaming on Peacock. I don't think it was actually on NBC. It's called Poker Face, which just finished its first season, I think, last year. It's a gal named Charlie, played by Natasha Lyonne. She has an extraordinary ability to determine when someone is lying. And we learned through the show that she was kind of not really a grifter, but a frequent gambler / poker player. And she ends up in Vegas, and then things really take a turn when her coworker / friend is murdered. And she figures out who done it, and once she does that, she then has to go on the run from the law, or not from the law, but from the people that murdered her friend. So it's interesting. It comes to us from Rian Johnson. He's the guy behind Knives Out and Glass Onion. He's the author of that, so very experienced in the murder mystery realm. It's a very, like, even though it's a modern show, it does have this real like 80s type appeal to it. Like, you feel like you're watching sort of Magnum P.I. and Murder, She Wrote. Like,
yes.
At the same time.
I completely agree.
For those who have seen those shows. at one point, you get like, I mean, I remember especially like the show open and stuff. I was like, oh, this is like Tom Selleck peeling out in a Ferrari kind of thing. But Leon is very good. She's very funny. I like the character a lot. This season, it's a continuous story. So it's not, even though it is sort of a villain of the week or a mystery of the week, you still have the continuing story of her being on the run and things like that. And it's a lot of fun. I just thought it was a lot of fun, and I don't want to give away the ending of the first season, but I thought it ended on a really great sort of cliffhangery type note. And I'm interested to see what happens next season, which is about the best I think you can say anything for a first season of a show kind of thing.
I only watched the first episode
Oh, you saw
back.
the first episode?
Yeah, I loved it, but I just haven't been able to go
Keep
back.
watching. There's a lot of great guest stars in it. A lot of great names show up in these different sort of mystery of the week type things. All right. Anyway, what's your next show?
My next show is Somebody Somewhere on Mac, starring Bridget Everett, and it takes place in Manhattan, Kansas. It follows Sam, and she basically moves back there. We don't see this part, but she moved back there because her sister was dying of cancer, and she took care of her. The show starts off with after, it's about 6 months, I think, after her sister died, and she's definitely like struggling. She's depressed, obviously, too, to fit in back with her hometown, and she becomes BFFs with a character named Joel, who's Jeff, played by Jeff Hiller. And Joel remembers her from high school, but she doesn't remember him at all. And they were in chorus together, and she has a really good voice, and he's complimenting her. And he happens to have the keys to, I guess it's the church. It's in a mall, actually. And he says he's doing like choir practice, but it's really kind of like an open mic, and they drink, and they have like, they have a lot of fun, and they have a band, and he gets her to go and sing. And it's a really, it's a great show. There's two seasons now. It has an indie feel to it. It's very real feeling. And it's heartbreaking, but it's funny. And I just, you fall in love with the characters. It's great.
I saw the I think I've seen both the first and second seasons of that show, and it was definitely one that I was going to list if you didn't. I think it's really strong. One of the things that I don't think it gets enough credit for is the writing. It's got really strong writing. It does feel almost too real at
Yes.
times. I'm kind of wondering, like, if you grew up in Manhattan, Kansas, is this too much for you? Kind of
Right.
thing.
Yeah, you might not want to watch it.
But yeah, it is. It's very, very strong. And that one you said is on Max. All right. Also on Max is the new season of True Detective. True Detective is an anthology series, so literally every series is different from the last one. They're all complete stories, and they're told, I think, in around 8 episodes. The first one famously had Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and it's terrific. It's if you haven't seen the first season, definitely watch the first season. The second season was kind of criticized as not being as strong, and that took place in LA. The first one takes place in Louisiana, like the remote parts of Louisiana. This new season takes place in Alaska, and it's during the season where they don't get daytime. For long, like it's just hours and hours of night. It stars Jodie Foster and her cohort Callie Reese, and they're both very good. They end up sort of being disgruntled partners. Got very much the same flavor of the first season of like two cops who don't want to work together to solve this mystery, but they're sort of forced to. It comes to us from a creator called Issa Lopez. Now, the original creator, Nick Polizzano, he had, I think, worked on the 3 seasons before. I think this is the first season he did not work on. And my theory is that Issa Lopez brought this series to HBO and they said, hey, to market this thing, why don't we make it a True Detective series? And then they sort of wrote in elements that tied it back to the first season of True Detective. That's just a theory. I'm speculating that may, it might just be something that they did, but Polizzano has kind of not said great things about the current season himself, so a little controversy there, but it's really good. I mean, I would, Jodie Foster is one of those actors you'd watch read the phone book kind of thing. She's so strong, and performances are strong all the way around. They actually filmed it in Iceland during the no sunlight season, so it's just one of the things that's kind of cool about it and mysterious about it is that because it's dark all the time, you have no idea when anything is happening. So like 12 noon looks like 12 midnight. This could be first thing in the morning. This could be dinner
Right.
time. We have no
So
idea.
disorienting.
So you're like, why are they doing this in the middle? Oh, wait, it's always the middle of the night. Like it's that kind of vibe to it. My one criticism of it is it does have like some of these supernatural elements, and at times it gets a little like horror movie to it, but they don't really, and I don't think they really resolve that. So because you're at one point, you're like, okay, is everybody like tripping on some gas or something? Are they actually seeing this stuff? or is this like some kind of spiritual connection? They do feature a lot of indigenous actors, and you don't see that often on
No.
film. And I'm just wondering how they got everybody to Iceland, because it does, you do
Yeah.
feel like you're in like northern Alaska, but the whole thing takes place in Iceland. I thought this season was really strong and definitely recommend the first season. Second season's pretty good. The third season is with Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff, and they play a couple of detectives also in the South. And that season is also quite strong because Ali is tremendous. I think he might be one of the best actors of his generation. Foster's really good in this. I don't think she's ever, not in recent years anyway, done television, but it's really good. All right, what do you got for us next?
Love on the Spectrum, the American version. It started. It was Australian. I didn't see that at all. There are two seasons for this. It's on Netflix. It follows people on the autism spectrum as they navigate the world of dating and relationships. I think I cried during almost every episode of the first season. I watched it all in one day. Remember, I was like ironing my clothes. I was like doing all the stuff. We just kept watching it. And the second season, I actually think might have been better. I'm also a speech pathologist and I work in special education. I've worked with children and also teenagers on the spectrum, and it touches your heart so much. They're so honest and you really can kind of get like their perspective on things. And it's the only way they know how to be. So it's great. It's reality television, but they couldn't have, I mean, maybe they forced some of the dates, but like they can't force these people to say what they say. So I think it's great. Easy to
And so
binge.
this is, it's a reality show, and
Yeah.
these people, there's no actors. All these people
No.
are. So do you get like an authentic vibe from it? Do you, or 'cause like,
Oh, yeah.
reality TV,
I
it's not,
Yeah.
so a lot of it is manipulated. A lot of it
Yes.
is kind of, it's acting, but it's usually just bad acting.
No, I know. I know. No, you really do, because just, I mean, the awkward silences, they're just like, and they really don't know what to say. They're honestly, like, most of them are very socially awkward, and it is real. And the people they set them up with, some of them are on the spectrum, some of them are not. There's people who have Down syndrome they'll set them up with, and it's adorable. It's the honesty, and you're like, can't believe some of the things they say. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that. Like, someone's literally like, I'm in love with you on the first date. And they mean it. It's great. It's just great. And the interaction with their families is great. The one guy gets embarrassed with his parents and he's like, oh, you can tell. I mean, it's wonderful. I just have to say.
It sounds interesting. Not my cup of tea, but maybe I'll check it out. My next show is on Apple TV, and I don't know if you've seen Severance. I've talked about Severance on the show before. Definitely recommend that. While you're waiting for the next season of Severance, I would say check out Slow Horses. It's a British spy action adventure drama type series. Gary Oldman is in it, and he plays the head of Slough House, which is where they derive the name from. And this is a group of British intelligence agents who kind of like screwed up their careers, and they're in this sort of purgatory of like, will they make it back into the proper graces of MI5 or not? MI5, I think, is like British FBI, and MI6 I think is like CIA type of things, if I'm not mistaken. Oldman is in it. Gary Oldman, he's a wonderful actor. Kristen Scott Thomas is also in it. She plays like the level above him. She's like the boss lady. There's some things that are incredibly British about it, like unabashedly British about it. I like the first season, and I like the most recent season that they did of it, where they, and basically every season is like a new plot twist kind of thing. So, the first season involves you see kind of how our main character, whose name is River, how he got to Slough House, and then like his career, trying to redeem his career at that point. And then in this season, one of the team members gets kidnapped, and they have to like find her and figure out, how they're going to get her back home. Gary Oldman's character is sort of charmingly disgusting in it, and he's such a committed actor. But he's like, he's delightful, but in a gross way. But all right, anyway, that's all I'll say about it. Like I
Okay.
said, when you while you're waiting for the next season of Severance, check out Slow Horses.
All right.
What do you got next?
Schitt's Creek. It's on Hulu right now. If you don't know the plot of that, after being a victim of fraud, Johnny Rose and his family, who's played by Eugene Levy, go from extremely wealthy to penniless overnight. The only asset left to them is a small, unsophisticated town called Schitt's Creek, and they relocate there. Culture shock ensues. I hated it the first time I watched it. I hated the first episode. I hated all the characters. I was like, they're all obnoxious, you know, and self-centered and surface. And whoever my friends were like, give it a chance, give it a chance. And then totally got sucked in. And it does have a huge, I guess you'd say, you know, character arcs, right? They really huge character development, I think, with this show. And was really sad when it was over. I couldn't even look at Moira, who's played by Catherine O'Hara, without laughing. Like, she'd come on and I'm like, oh my gosh. And of course, Dan Levy there. David, who plays David, also too. He's great. Did you see it? Did you watch it? Tell
I
me.
think I was like you. I saw the first episode, went, "This is not for me," and turned it off. But maybe I'll give it another chance.
Yeah, I think you should.
And you said that's on Hulu,
It's
correct?
on Hulu. It's been all over the place, but currently I believe it's on Hulu.
Speaking of Hulu, there's a couple that I want to talk about briefly. Just started watching Shogun. So it's in Japan, set in the year 1600, when a mysterious European ship is found marooned on a nearby fishing village, Lord Yoshi Tanaga, Toranaga, discovers secrets that could tip the scales of power. So basically, it's this time where the emperor, I think, is kind of like too young to rule, and it's all of these different lords that are ruling everything in Japan. It does have that samurai type of vibe to it. They've made this into a mini series a couple of different times. I think the first one was like 1980. Here's the tagline: Game of Thrones, but Japan. So like Game of Thrones, 1600 Japan. A lot of it is in Japanese. I think they have a dubbed version of it, but if you want to see, you know, the authentic kind of Japanese subtitles, you're gonna, oh, unless you speak Japanese, then you're fine, you know. All right. And the other one I was gonna mention real quick, also on Hulu, is Fargo. Have you seen Fargo? Any?
No.
So Fargo is another anthology series, pseudo quasi based on the movie Fargo, and but it's none of those stories. It's different stories each season. And I didn't really get into it. And then this last season, I started watching it, and it has Juno Temple is the lead, and she is of Ted Lasso fame. She was Keeley on Ted Lasso, so she's very funny in that. She's very British also in that. Here she's got like a Midwestern accent. And John Hamm plays this tyrannical sheriff who's like basically rules the town with an iron fist kind of thing. It's very good. I thought, you know, I was really impressed by it. And maybe I'll go back and watch some of the other seasons. But, you know, I dig anthology series, and that's one. And they're both on, I think that one's, they're like FX slash Hulu shows, so they get away with a lot. It's not like regular, you know, like regular TV kind of thing. All right, what do you got for us next?
Sex Lives of College Girls on Max. The first season, they are freshmen. Actually, no, the second season. I'm trying to think if the second season they're freshmen too. I think they're freshmen too. They continue it. It's four roommates of a made-up college called Essex College in Vermont. And actually, their first season they filmed a bit in Poughkeepsie in this area, but then second season, not at all. Yeah, I mean it sounds like oh gosh, you know, all like hormonal and everything, but it really is not. It really was not. It does say these sexually active college girls are equal parts lovable and infuriating. It's really not really based off of sex. So I think the title just was for shock, maybe. It's Mindy Kaling. I think BJ Novak also, I think. And then I thought there was a third writer. It is funny. There is really actually great acting. There's depth to the characters. I did not think there was going to be. There's like a little bit of ridiculousness in there, but it wasn't like too much. I was expecting it to be a little like, oh gosh, this is really ridiculous, but it really wasn't. It was great, really great.
What's the tone of it? Is it like a comedy? Is it a drama? Like,
Definitely comedy, but there's also some deeper issues there, you know, with like one with her family ties with the culture and going against what they want her to do. Another character is struggling with coming out. So there's, there are deeper themes there, but it's fun. It's really, and it's easy to watch. I know my husband liked it. I don't know. I feel like he would like it.
Okay, on the surface, a story about a bunch of Zoomer college girls
Yeah.
doesn't think,
Right. No, I know.
probably not my cup of tea, but you did a podcast on that
Oh
one,
yeah,
right?
we did. And that was one of our most downloaded the episodes we did about Sex Lies of College. It really got like a cult following really quickly. Definitely heard from a few people, not that I knew and I didn't know them, that said, like, I'm so happy you're talking about this show. I don't think people really were. And yeah, I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. We had just talked about Scenes from a Marriage, which was pretty heavy. And I'm like, let's do this one. Sex Lies of College. Let's see about this one. And we needed like a little bit lighter. And I really, it surprised me actually how much I liked it. And I couldn't wait for the second season. Yeah.
Very cool. I got a couple of other honorable mentions, and then we'll wrap up shortly here. But
Okay.
and I've mentioned The Bear on the show before. If you haven't seen The Bear, it's one of the best dramas on television. It recently was greenlit for seasons 3 and 4 simultaneously, so that tells you how good it is. I also really like I really like Only Murders in the Building, which is a show that really is working on being like a four quadrant show. You've got the boomer characters, you've got and then you've got like Selena Gomez in there also, and it's very diverse and very fun. And the last season I had Meryl Streep in it, and Paul Rudd, so they're a lot of fun. The first season I think is still the strongest. It's about a bunch of people who's when someone is murdered in their building, they decide to form a podcast about it and try to solve the murder. And this then things keep happening in a Murder, She Wrote type of season every season. Tina Fey is a guest star on it, and she's wonderful. But anyway, so you have a couple of podcasts. So when you did talked about Sex Lives of College Girls, that was Homebodies Only, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And then your current season of that show is talking about which show now?
We have not recorded in a while. The last show we talked about was actually Abbott Elementary. So we talk about, used to be called HBO shows, now called Max. And Abbott Elementary happened to, now they play the they moved, sorry, they have episodes on HBO. So I was like, let's do that one since we work in a school. My co-host is a school psychologist and we work together. So, but we have not recorded in a while. I have a feeling it might be pushed to the summer. Probably somebody somewhere. I have a feeling will be our next one.
So that's Homebodies Only, and that's Max series basically at this
Yes.
point. And then your other show is Made.
Made with Jackie Hansel. It's, basically, I interview people who are what I consider self-made, entrepreneurs, artists, small business owners, musicians, and I have them pick an episode from their favorite series or a series they really want to talk about, and we both obviously I'll watch it, take notes, so we start off the episode by recapping that. And then I get into questions for them. And I just found it's a really great way, if I don't know the guests before, to bond with them and connect with them. And then, usually they talk, there's things in the show that bring out what, they really resonate with the characters or with the theme. And then you really get to know them in that way. That's on both YouTube and on all podcast platforms as well.
Excellent, excellent. And do you guys have a website or anything like that?
I don't have a website for that one. Just
But
the
you're on social media too, right?
yes, on Instagram, it's Jackie and the Sticks with an X. I believe, yes, STIX. That's yeah, and I post stuff about Made on there. We do have the Homebodies Only has a website and an Instagram and TikTok. Oh, I'm also on TikTok with Made as well. Not I don't. TikTok's funky.
And what's your YouTube handle?
The Homebodies Only is it's called Homebodies Only Podcast, and the handle for Made with Jackie Hansel is Made-333.
Fantastic. I'm going to wrap up. Thanks
All
so
right.
much for doing this. This was a lot of fun. I hope we get to do it
Yeah.
again. At
Yeah.
some point, we'll have to have you down at the studio. You have to make a
Yes.
schlep to Brooklyn, and
Yes.
we can do a show here. But this was great. I'm glad we got some time together.
Me too.
And come back again soon.
Definitely.
And that's all we got for you today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. I'd like to thank my guest, Jackie Hansel, and our sponsor, JMR Rentals, for Behind the Rabbit Productions. I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.